Go ahead, I'm turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 18. Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. I hope you've had a great week. How are we doing? I want to start off by introducing a brother visiting from the church in Chicago. He's here with his mother-in-law and his daughter, Chuck. Nelly, where are you? Could you stand up? Go ahead and stand on up. Welcome to Atlanta. And I also want to say welcome to Shabania. She just graduated from FAMU and has moved to Atlanta. Where are you, Shabania? Welcome. But it's been a great week on all kinds of levels. You know, last Sunday, a lot of us, I know we went to some Super Bowl party. And the campus students, we also had ours. And, you know, for halftime, we went watching Black Eyed Peas or whatever. The brothers brought the guitar out and the drums, and we were singing. It was awesome. And the funny thing was, you know, I'm sitting there going, okay, so what are we going to be doing? What songs are we going to be doing? Fred goes, looking at me, you're going to lead the singing. I said, I didn't know I was going to be leading the singing. He said, bro, you got to use your talent. I said, well, I'm going to have to charge you for the amplifier. Well, we had a great time. It was wonderful. And I know even last night, the teens had a fantastic time with their progressive dinner. Okay, and I know a lot of parents, a lot of the brothers and sisters really helped out. I want you teens to take this opportunity and show your appreciation to your mom and dad and all the adults that helped out with what you guys did last night. Put your hands together. Also, the single brothers really had a great time serving the single sisters yesterday. I got one question. How come I don't get invited to these things? I'm feeling kind of left out. This morning, the title of my lesson is, What Are You Asking God For? Today, I want to talk very quickly about prayer. And Daniel started talking about this in our lesson in Psalms in the adult class earlier, just how you and I need to get in the habit of just pouring our hearts out to God. And I had no idea what he was going to be talking about this morning. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit always works all these things out. But we're going to talk about prayer this morning. One of the things I love to do is to hear children pray. It is amazing to listen to them. Because they got no inhibitions. They just say like it sounds to them. They just get out there. And I want to read to you some of the things that some kids were asking God for. Dear God, please send me a new baby for mommy. The new baby you sent last week cries too much. That was from Debbie, 70 years old. Another one asked, dear God, who did you make smarter, boys or girls? My sister and I want to know. He's 6 years old. Another one wrote, dear God, how many angels are there in heaven? I would like to be the first kid in my class to know the answer. Another kid wrote, dear God, thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the TV weatherman. Another one wrote, dear Lord, please bring me a new brother. The one I got gives me a hard time all the time. Another kid wrote, "Dear God, please help me in school. I need help in spelling, adding, history, geography, and writing. I don't need help in anything else." Another kid wrote, "Dear God, do you have helpers in heaven? I would like to be one of your helpers in heaven when I have summer vacation." Another kid wrote, "Dear Lord, tomorrow is my birthday. Could you please put a rainbow in the sky? Dear God, I need a raise in my allowance. Could you have one of your angels tell my father? Thank you." And finally, another one wrote, "Dear God, I'm saying my prayers for me and my brother, Billy, because Billy is 6 months old and he can't do anything but sleep and wet his diapers." Prayers are awesome. And I think sometimes we forget to be like little children, and we get so sophisticated as adults when we come before the creator of the universe. In Luke chapter 18, beginning verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" This is the passage that is called the parable of the persistent widow. And we're told in this passage that Jesus told his disciples this passage. Why? That they should always pray and not give up. You see, there's a reason why this passage is in the Bible. Notice it tells us that Jesus told them this parable so that we will not give up asking God for things. Because God knows us. He created us. And he knows how we react to things. We may ask for certain things. We may be asking for something. And then we give up. And say, well, he's not going to answer me anyhow. And so we stop praying about that thing. And we stop asking God. And just says, no, don't do that. Keep praying. Keep on asking. And God will eventually answer your prayers. I want to introduce you to a young lady that's very, very special to me. This is Annalise. Annalise is 4 years old. And every Sunday, she would come up to me after service and give me a hug, and she would say, "Mr. Richard, when are you coming to my house?" And I would look at her and say, "You know, honey, I'm coming. I'm coming." The following week, she would come over. "Hi, Mr. Richard, when are you coming to my house?" So I said one Sunday, "You know what? I'll come. I'm coming this week. I'll be there." And so the week is going on, and Saturday comes along, and it's 6 p.m., and I remember. I say, "You know what, I got to go, because if I don't, she's going to come tomorrow morning. And she's going to ask me the same question. When are you coming to my house?" And so I went. And went over, as a matter of fact, the day I went, it happened to be her younger sibling's birthday. And, you know, she saw me through the window and jumped on me when I walked in. And, you know, we're sitting there, we're talking with the parents. And she comes over at some point, she gives me, "Mr. Richard, I love you." And that was really what I needed. But you see, she kept on asking. Now she needs to come to my house. Okay, and I know how parents will bring her at the right time. But you see, every Sunday, right here on the spot, I eventually gave in. I eventually kept my promise. That is the way it needs to be with us and God. Where we keep asking, where we're going to wear him out. That's what it says in the book. Are you wearing God out with your prayers? I'm not jumping on the stage. I got an exam in 8 days. I'm not taking any chances. I don't want to break anything. But you see, are we wearing God out with our prayers? Here we are, February the 13th. The stuff you started praying for at the beginning of the year, are you still praying about it on a daily basis? Or have you given up already? It's only February 13th. You got to keep asking. You got to keep asking God on a daily basis, several times a day. Excuse me. He can't put you off forever. In his own time, he will answer you. Amen? Very, very important. So back, you got to remember that back in the New Testament, back in the first century, widows were totally helpless. Especially if they didn't have kids of their own. Remember that back then, they had no social security. And if you had kids, when you grew older, when you became a widow, your kids would take care of you. And so you can imagine a widow with no kids. Where's the money going to come from to eat? Who's going to take care of her? And I believe he uses a widow in this situation, in this story, to show us that, you know what, we need to become that desperate. Where we feel like we have no place else to turn. Are you with me? Because there are a lot of things that only God can do for us. Now, a lot of times he will use individuals to answer your prayers and to do different things for you. But there are many things that only God will do for you and me that nobody else can. But we need to get to that point of desperation. We need to get to that point of where, you know what, I can depend on nobody else except God. And then God will answer your prayers. Amen? God wants to hear from you. God wants us to wear him out with our prayers. That is why this passage is in the Bible. Look in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, in verse 46. I love this passage. It says, then they came to Jericho, Mark 10, 46. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, that is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Beautiful story. We're told that Jesus was leaving Jericho, and this blind man, you can imagine, you know, he heard the commotion. It's like, what's going on? So it's Jesus of Nazareth. Obviously, he knew who Jesus was. He must have heard that, you know what, this is the son of God. This is the son of David. He must have heard that, you know what, this is the guy who's been going around healing people and performing miracles. And here was his opportunity. And he starts shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.
I find it very interesting. All the people that can see, they look around and say, hey, be quiet. It's easy for them to say, they can see. And it's amazing, he could have kept quiet. But it's like, forget about these guys. You guys can see. Hey, son of David, have mercy on me. And he's kept on screaming and shouting. And to me, the most amazing part of the story, the Bible says, Jesus stopped. That's incredible to me. He stopped. You couldn't get the president to stop to talk to you. You can scream all you want on the sidewalk. He can't hear you through that bulletproof, whatever they have him in. He's just going to wave at you. He said, he stopped. The creator of the universe stopped and says, call him. It's amazing to me. We have the incredible opportunity every day, several times a day. And God will stop to listen to you and me. Amen. That's amazing to me. Amen. And we are not taking advantage of it. We're too busy with life. There are times when you just need to stop. There are times when I just need to stop. I just need to talk to my God. Amen? He took the time. The Lord literally stopped the motorcade and says, call him. And says, and when he shows it, what can I do for you? What do you want me to do for you? I believe Jesus already knew, but he wanted to hear it. God wants to hear it. God already knows what you need, what you desire, but he wants you to verbalize it and keep on verbalizing it. Amen? You got to keep asking. You got to say it. Amen? It's awesome. It's such an incredible privilege to be able to talk to the creator of the universe every day, several times a day, any place, any time, and he stops. Sometimes, I don't know how it is for you, in the middle of the night, I just wake up and I can't sleep. I just, wow, this is awesome. I'm going to just start praying. Because yes, he has the ability to hear everybody at the same time, but guess what? At least this half of the world is asleep. And so I'm just there talking to him. And I lay things out. And then eventually I fall back asleep. But you got to realize that there are times when things are going on in our lives where we just need to stop and just pray. Amen? What is prayer anyhow? It's just talking to God. You don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to go hide in a room. You can pray with your eyes open. Amen? You can pray as you're driving. When you're stuck in traffic. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Don't just sit there listening to music. Turn that radio off. Talk to your Father instead. Amen? Talk to God. Don't look, oh man, I'm stuck here in traffic for the next 45 minutes. I look at it another way. It is 45 minutes of talking to the Almighty that God just created for me. It's all about your mindset. Amen? Oh, Atlanta traffic is horrible. I love it. Great times to pray. Great times to be with God. Amen? It's all about perspective. But we're asking God such that he stops for us. You know, the Anglins are home, Bert and Julia. Like I announced on Thursday night, the kidney transplant went great. But I know we've all been praying for them for a long time. We've been praying for God to provide a kidney for Bert. And I now forget, several months ago, you know, hearing on the news about, you know, like 8-9 couples who wanted to donate to somebody, but because they were not a match, they now
match them up with other people, and all of a sudden now, the 8 people have their transplant, and all those people were able to donate 1 kidney. And I remember thinking, I wonder if this is what's going to do. Is this how God is going to give birth a kidney? But I kept on praying. You kept on praying. We all kept on praying. And I'll never forget the day Julia called and said, Richard, I knew it was the good news about a kidney. He goes, Richard, I just found out I'm a match. Because previously they had told her that she wasn't a match to birth. And it was through Marie. You know, the Anglicans met them, invited them to church. Marie became a disciple. Then Willie became a disciple later on, last December. But it was Marie's idea. Saying, why don't you go back to the hospital and get tested? And that's how she found out they were a match. And it's amazing. Okay, great. They're a match. When's the operation going to take place? They found out that the kidney she was meant to donate had 2 arteries on it. Most people have 1 coming into each kidney. She had 2 on the one she's meant to be donating. And so Emory is very, very particular about how to do stuff. And so they had to sit down and have another conference. And so, are we really going to do this? And so they decided to go forward. And it's amazing. They both went in for the surgery. Julia first, they took the kidney out with the 2 arteries. And guess what? They wheeled Bert in, cut him open to put in the kidney that Julia just donated to him. And guess what? Bert had 2 arteries. And so the doctors just snip, snip, and bam! That is not an accident. God is incredible the way he works. But it's all through prayer. They had no idea what was inside. He did. I hope that increases your faith. Because a lot of times, you know, we're praying for stuff and we think, oh no, God doesn't hear me. I don't know what's going on. Stop it. In his own time, he will do much more than you ask or can even imagine. I mean, that's the way Julia describes it. You know, they went in, snip, snip, and boom. The kidney started working. They're both home now. He was doing so well, they said, you can go home with your wife. They were discharged on Friday. Continue to pray for them. Amen? Because the recovery is not easy. But I share that to encourage you. That, yeah, we've been praying for them for years. And then God, finally, in his own time, says, you know what? Now is the time. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on your prayers. Amen? Don't give up. I know at least 8 months now, we've been praying, begging God for our own place. And it looked like, oh man, we're going to get this place. We're going to get this place. And God says, nah, you got to wait a little bit. I don't totally understand what he's trying to do. But all I know is that my Bible promises that he will give us the desires of our hearts. And that's why we got to keep on praying. Are you still praying? Or have you given up? We should always pray and not give up. That's why Luke 18 is in the Bible. Amen? It's amazing to me that God is interested in what we have to say. That's amazing to me. That he actually listens and he wants to hear from me. I wish I could say that about every conversation I have. There are times when I'm tired and somebody's telling me something, and I don't hear what they're saying. And sometimes Sarah will go, I did you hear me? I said, huh? I'm sorry. Could you repeat what you said? I'm sorry. I got distracted. It's not intentional, but you see, it's amazing to me that when you and I talk to God, he listens to us attentively. He doesn't get distracted. And all I'm saying is we got to take advantage of this. Amen? Amen? Mark chapter 7. Here's another lady Mark chapter 7 in verse 24. Here's another example. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syria, Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. For it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied. But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. You know, this is one of those passages, I don't know about you, I read it, and I'm like, Jesus, what did he just say? The Bible says, he said, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. It's amazing to me. The woman did not feel insulted. She didn't go, I can't believe he just said that to me. I'm walking away. Fine, you can walk away. The daughter will still have the demon. She even said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. In other words, you can call me a dog all you want. This dog will take the crumbs. When we get to the other side, I want to ask the Lord, Lord, could you explain this one to me? I know you were sinless, but why did you say it that way? I don't understand it. But the point is, this woman wasn't leaving until she got what she came for. That's the point. She wasn't going to be dissuaded. She wanted something from Jesus. She needed something from Jesus. And she wasn't leaving until she got the answer she came for. Is that your attitude in your prayers? That needs to be our attitude. That, you know, Lord, I'm going to keep praying, I'm going to keep bugging you until you answer me. Amen? Now, let me repeat. The answer is not always going to be yes. Yes is good. I love yes. You love yes. All right? When God says yes, man, it's fantastic. Yes is good. But sometimes the answer is no. We need to be good with that too. Amen? We all have kids in here, a lot of us. We don't give them everything they ask for. You know, the kids will come. Father. It's like, what do you want? I used to be dad, now he's father. You know, they want something. And you listen. And sometimes there are conditions. Okay, if this happens, then you get it. And sometimes it's like, no. And this is why. Is it because I don't love them? No. Of course I love them. But I'm their father. I know what's best for them. If I give them everything they ask for, they'll be spoiled brats. And I'm not creating a spoiled brat. It's not happening. Not on my watch. I hope that's not happening on your watch either. But you see, sometimes God will tell us no. Sometimes God will tell us to wait. I talked about that a few weeks ago. And we got to wait in expectation. Amen? That we will continue to pray about whatever it is we're asking God for. You know, it dawned on me this week. I said, man, my exams are just a few days away. And so I printed this prayer and I put it right in front of me. It says, my solemn prayer. By the grace of God, I am going to pass the bar exam this time around. And I'm looking at that thing several times a day. All day long. And my wife came in and she saw the sign that I put up. And she goes, amen, Richard. Amen, too. Amen. I'm with you. But see, I'm praying. It's funny, this time around, the more I study, it's like, I feel like the less I know. It's just like, my goodness, wow, okay.
I'll keep on praying, but I got to do my part. I can't say, God, help me in the past, and then I'm not studying. It doesn't work that way. God is not going to put this stuff in my brain by osmosis. I got to sit there and do the work. You know, the same thing for all the kids in here that are students. The teens in high school and the campus students. You know what? You're praying. You're asking God to help you with your schoolwork. You're asking God to help you understand. But then you got to put in the time. You've got to do it. You can't have one without the other. You can pray until the cows come home. If you're not putting in the effort, it's not going to happen. And a lot of times, sometimes that's what's missing. And you need to remember that as Christians, yeah, your teens and your campus teens, your example is very important. Because how are you going to be able to go out and influence other teens? How are you going to be able to go out and influence other campus students? They're going to ask you, what is your Jesus doing for you? But it's not Jesus, it's you. Amen? Amen? I didn't hear amens from you guys. Amen? You got to get in there. You say, I'm just a student, Mr. Richard. Yeah, you got a job. Your job is to be the best student you can be. Your education is your way out. You know it, and I know it. Amen? There's going to be tons of time later on to watch TV and to play video games or whatever else you're doing. But this ain't the time. So put away the video games. Get off the computer and the YouTube. Get in your school book. Amen? I know you're looking down right now. You're not even looking at me. Get in there. You can do it. Believe me, your brain is no different from that guy in your class who's getting straight A's. He's got the same brain. The difference is he's putting a lot more effort. Amen? So I want to encourage you. Go after it. Be your best. Amen? There is no reason why you shouldn't be getting A's and B's. There's nothing wrong with your brain. I'm serious. There's nothing wrong with your brain. Put in the effort. Trust God. Pray. And you watch what happens. Amen? Give it everything you've got. This woman was not going to leave until she got what she came for. Look in Psalm 20. And this is where we're going to end. You see, a lot of times, again, we're asking God for things. And God is working in our lives in different ways. And He's actually answering our prayers. But we don't even know it. Because we can't see it. We can't see the big picture. Okay? That also happens. It operates like that sometimes. Back in the 80s, there's this movie that came out called The Karate Kid. It's been recently redone. Okay? And I think it's, what's the guy's name? Jackie Chan and Will Smith's son. They did a pretty good job of it. But I like the original better. And to me, it was amazing where there was this little Spanish kid getting bullied and getting beaten up by a bunch of guys who were taking karate lessons. And basically, you know the story. The maintenance guy for the apartment complex where they were living was from Korea. He decided, okay, I'm going to teach you karate so you can defend yourself. And basically, he was meant to teach him karate for a tournament that they were going to be having where all these bullies were also meant to be. And so they were going to fight at that tournament. And so I was like, oh, this is going to be great. He's going to teach him how to fight. And the kid shows up the first day for his first lesson. And the man had him stand on the floor. He goes, stand the floor, circle right. Stand the floor, circle left. Don't forget to breathe. Circle right, circle left. He did that the entire day. The next day he came, he had him painting his fence. He says, paint up, stop, paint down. Up and down. Don't forget to breathe, Danielson. Day number three, he shows up. He actually leaves him a note. He had gone out fishing. He told him to paint the entire house. And so the kid is there painting the house. And paints, it took him till dark. And so Mr. Miyagi, that was his name, he came back at night. And so Danielson is very upset. Say, you know what? I came here for you to teach me karate. He says, all I've been doing is slaving for you.
And I want to show you a scene from where the kid finally discovered where all the work he had been doing was preparing him to be able to defend himself. Let me get the lights. Watch this. You see, a lot of times, God is working our lives and preparing us to different events, and we have no clue what's going on. It's called, he sees the big picture. You and I don't. And what we've got to do in our walk with him, in our prayers with him, is to hang in there. Because we don't see the big picture. And that was the turning point in the movie. You know, after that, he had to learn to balance. And he eventually won that tournament. He beat all those guys, every single one of them. But I wanted to show you that just as an illustration of just how a lot of times God is walking in our lives. And we think, oh no, I'm just here slaving. I'm just here. Nothing's going on. But God is working. You just got to hang in there. Amen? Look in Psalm chapter 20. And this is where we're going to end up. In Psalm 20, David writes, may the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all of our requests. God bless you all.
And let's pray. Amen. You can go ahead and stand up. Heavenly Father, we're so excited and we're so glad, Father, that you allowed us to come together and have an incredible worship service before you. Lord, we thank you so much for the word that was preached this morning, Father. We thank you so much just for the music, Father, and the worship service. God, we pray that everything that was done this morning, God, was a pleasing aroma to your ears, Father, and that it was great and that was pleasing to your nostrils, Father. God, we thank you so much for allowing us, Father, as your sons and your daughters, God, to worship you this morning. God, I pray that that we will have a turning point this morning. Father, I pray that we gain some conviction from your word. God, that we would pray to you, Father, earnestly. God, that we would pray to you day and night, Father, and that you would hear our prayers. And God, that we would humble ourselves before you. God, that we would have faith, God, that you would hear us when we pray to you, Father. And that we would have faith that whatever your answer is, God, that we will humble ourselves to it. God, we've come to another end of our worship service, God, and I pray that our fellowship would not just end today, God, that we would continue to fellowship today, God, and throughout the rest of the week, God, until we see each other again next week. We pray all this in your son's Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.